No, but just take it off of fan and put it on auto. Feels like we've got the AC going. Yeah? Till you're better paid, thanks a lot. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And 1 Timothy chapter 1, we left off last week. Just, I hope, beginning to understand what the Lord is trying to speak to us through these verses and what Paul was instructing Timothy on sound doctrine. I don't want to keep up what I did last week, but doctrine is so important, and the correct doctrine. And, you know, it's one of those words that kind of gets us sometimes a little riled up, but it's, if we can simplify it, it's good teaching, biblical teaching, godly teaching, not man's impression, not man's interpretation, not my idea. It's God's divine revelation. That's what sound doctrine is. And, you know, the point again of all godly doctrine is summed up in verse 5. Good doctrine, sound doctrine, was designed by the Lord, salute, to give us a healthy faith day by day and to promote love. That's the point and purpose of all of it. And I didn't finish last week, but I also don't think I'm going to get off verse 5 for a while, because this is that one point that I felt over and over this week in studying, that this is what God wants to get across to us. We spend so much time trying to figure out, you know, I mean, some are the, and I want to use the word pride themselves in the right way, pride ourselves in our memory verses, pride ourselves with how much we know, how we've got pre, mid, post, we can argue with the best of them. We strive for that. And what God is asking us is the simplicity of striving for His agape-type love. I mean, it's what it's all starting to boil down to. All the rest of it, really, it matters, but it doesn't matter unless we exemplify and have God's love. And, you know, for us guys, sometimes, you know, we've all got a good rationale, and women too, I don't want to leave you out, but, you know, for godly love, as we read it, for some reason we were raised with the ideas that it's not a manly thing to be that way. That it would show, you know, that you're weak or it's meek. But wasn't Jesus one of the meekest individuals that ever walked the earth? But in that meekness and that love, there was a strength that none of us will ever accomplish in this physical life. But God nonetheless is asking us, strive for that. That's what I want from you. And we'll get to that with some scriptures. And I don't recommend the Amplified all the time, but turn to 1 Corinthians now that you have something set in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 13. You know, we've read this over and over and over. We have it on birthday cards, anniversary cards, you know, memorial cards, whatever. But I think what the Lord is trying to get to us is this commandment, because that's what 5 told us. Remember, the end of the commandment, the end of God's whole point and purpose in us is love. It's love. It's not all the other stuff, degrees and sheepskins on the walls and knowing, you know, beyond doubt, 152 scriptures that I can support that with and cut you right off at your ankles. It's love. That love is a lot different than what I feel. That love is a lot different than what I can rationalize. But nonetheless, God is saying, this is what I want from you, Doug. So in the Amplified, this might take the whole sermon. Love endures with patience. If you're in 1 Corinthians 13, it starts in verse 4. Love endures with patience. And again, you know, we've all heard it, but the best thing for me to do is for Doug to put my name in that, not yours. Oh, this would be good for Craig. Oh boy, if Jake could do this, he'd really, you know. No, put my name in it. Forget about everybody else, because that one thing that Satan is after in our lives, he can't tell, you know, there might be differences of opinion. This church, myself, we're founded on the fact of eternal security. Eternal. What does that mean? Not temporal, eternal. You can't lose your salvation. Satan can't take anything that God has given to you in that salvation away from us in one little bit. But he can. He can rob my faith. Just try to attack it and assail it. He can grab my joy because of that, and not just my happiness, my joy, knowing what's going on, not only on what I can see, but on a level that I can't see. He robs that. But the biggest thing that he attacks is my love, first trying for the Lord, and then my love for you and you and you, and especially that guy out there that I feel doesn't deserve my love. But God loves him. And God's saying, that's my child. Don't all of us who have children want somebody else to love our children? And that's what God is asking. And I have not attained that, nor will I in this flesh. But that doesn't mean I don't have to strive to do that now that I belong to him. Love endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful. It's not jealous or envious. Anybody already got hit by the rock yet? Love does not brag. It's not proud or arrogant. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not provoked, nor overly censored and easily angered. It does not take into account a wrong endured. You ever notice how we can remember words that were spoken by somebody 30 years ago? Exactly. But I can't find my keys that I just had in my hand. Takes into account a wrong endured, does not. It does not rejoice at injustice. Good. He deserved that. It's about time he got caught. But rejoices with the truth when right and truth prevail. Love bears all things regardless of what comes. Believes all things, looking for the best in each one. Hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times. Endures all things without weakening. Love never fails. It never fades nor end. Love. That's the one thing that Paul is trying to get across to Timothy, and I feel the Spirit is hopefully trying to get it across to us. And that's why we're in this verse again, because we all have strides to make in this area. We have to get rid of our thoughts and rationalizations about why I can't love like that. Well, you know, I hear that, but there, no. God is saying, I want you walking in this daily from this point. How much time have we got? I keep saying, well, you know, I'll get that when. We'll do that when we're done with all D stuff. Well, I'll do that when, you know, we do. Now it's Ted stuff. When is when going to end, Doug? When is when going to end for each and every one of us? That we would think that this is the love of my life, Jesus. That's why I love here. When am I going to start marching in that? When am I going to really strive like I do for other things in this world? When am I going to try to perfect that in Doug's life? That's up to me. And I hope God is speaking to each one of us also. So the point and purpose is God's agape love. Read that 1 Corinthians. I think we need to dwell on it a little bit more. Paul gives out four practices in the Christian walk in verse 5. Now, the end of the commandment is love, out of a pure heart, a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which, verse 6, some, having swerved, or they've missed the mark is what that is, they've deviated from the truth, turned aside unto vain jangling. I love that word. It's one time in the scripture, vain jangling, and what it means is excuses. Making excuses. It's not just, it's meaningless talk, but it's also, I'll do that when, I'll do that if, I'll get to that on, you know, December 2nd of 19... whatever we said back then. It's excuses, desiring to be teachers. Now again, Paul is warning Timothy against these false teachers, which we are surrounded by. And he's just trying to tell him, just stick with the good, sound teaching that God has given to us, because all these others are out there who want to be a teacher of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Lord, help us to apply this. In Jesus' name. So we had last week that the whole point and purpose of God's commandment is love. Out of a pure heart. And we talked about that pure heart. We had Psalm 51 last week. How do I purify my heart? What's that prayer that we have to offer up to God? Because without God in this equation, all of this is not hard. It's impossible. God is the only one that can change your heart. God is the only one that can take wherever your heart, my heart is today, as hard as it might be in one little area, He is the one that can just make that soft again. He can melt it. He can mold it if we allow Him to do that. So how do I begin to try to love not only my Lord and Savior, but each other and those that we know? How do I do that without the Lord? How do I purify this heart in me? Well, remember in Psalm 51, it was verse 10 that said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. And that right spirit, well, you know, you're not right with the Lord. We use words like that. No, that's a constant spirit. That doesn't mean conditionally. It doesn't mean when all the right things are in order. Renew a constant spirit in me, Lord. That means a constant spirit of love. Not when Della is around and Kathleen and I want to look like a real nice guy and I say the right words and do the right things. And you're not, no, when nobody's around, when nobody's looking except for the Lord, that's when I want this constant or right spirit within me that I might love with the godly love that I was shown on that day. Possibly like some of you, that life was just, it wasn't worth it anymore, was it? I'm sick of this whole thing. Maybe you didn't want to check out from this life, but we couldn't make any progress. But remember the day that you gave your heart to Him and you said, thank you for the love. Thank you for what you're capable of doing. And all of a sudden, something changed. There was something different. And even if you don't recognize it, other people did. People looked at you and said, what happened? Ray remembers who I was. And I think he probably said, I wonder what happened to Doug, you know? Some of you, I knew you prior. What happened? God happened. The love of God entered into us. But it wasn't just for us. Love is a verb. Love is something that has to be given away. It has to be walked in. It has to be shared in order for it to be love. You just, oh man, God loves me. And I put it under here and I save it for someday. I have to keep going with it. And it just continues to increase. And that's what Timothy is saying to his young convert, his son in the faith. The whole point, Timothy, for all of us, not just for you as a preacher, is love for God and love for our fellow man out of a pure heart, a right heart. So how do I do this? I said it. The first step is God. In His sovereignty, He is the only one that can change your heart. We think we've changed our heart. Well, I'm not like I used to be. That's just an exercise of the will. And I guarantee you, at one point, with enough pressure, it'll change. It'll go out the window. God is the only one that can purify this heart. He's the only one that can really change it if we go to Him and ask Him to create that clean heart in us. But then there's a human responsibility. I have to walk in this. Oh God, do me a favor, you know, change this attitude I got and this heart that I have and then walk away and can, no, there's something that you and I have to do while God is working that inward work in us. Turn to 2 Timothy. Chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. We had this last week, but you know, I'm thinking, my heart needs to be pure in this love. It's not there. And I'm sure you'll agree, most of you. I don't think there's anybody that would say, oh my, I got it. How do I do it now? God is working in me, but how do I do it? We had it last week, but I started thinking more about the, flee youthful lust. What's hardening your heart? Some of those, and love, it's not, we always look at drinking, drugs, smoking, cussing, all those big things. There's other things that get us. There's financial stuff, there's how people look at us, how they think about us, there's all these different lusts that we've had that were built into us from the time we were kids. And what the Lord is saying is flee those lusts, those things that are just holding you tight. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. Where do I get those? He says, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. There's that pure heart again. So in order to develop this love, we have to know when to run and what to run to. What to run away from and what to kind of get in there. So this is just simple accountability in a church body. It's how do I purify my heart? Well, I come to church on Sunday and I listen to God's word. But then I meet after this 3-hour sermon today. I run to someone else. I'm running away. Look, I have this problem, but I want to get rid of it. I want God to create a clean heart in me, and I want to love people the way He wants me to love them. So then I got to run to Him. Because he had a problem like me. Man, you're calling on the Lord. How'd you do it? He shares with me. Oh, that's, hey, how'd you get through it? How did you get through it? We make ourselves accountable to one another within the body of Christ. But see, too many of us are, what would so-and-so think of me if I say I have this problem? What will so-and-so think of me if I, seem weak in this area or whatever? God is saying we need to be accountable to one another, not just on Sunday morning. It includes, Bible studies, women's studies, men's studies, calling during the course of the week and seeing how each other are. Where is that breach in the wall that I can run to? Forget about the Broncos losing today. Don't watch the recording. That's even more hurtful, isn't it? We have that engraved on a TV screen. Go run to somebody else today, maybe, and help them if they're in need. That's love. That's godly love. And that's what he's trying to get across to me, at least. So let's go back to 1 Timothy, one of those four practices. So we had, love is the main one, but God wants it out of a pure heart. And the next one is, I don't mean to be funny, but it's a hard one, and of a good conscience. What's the conscience? The conscience is to know, an internal knowledge between right and wrong. So God is saying, Doug, I want, and you put your name, I want not only a pure heart in this love, but I want a good conscience. My thoughts, where my mind is, not excusing or rationalizing, but having that good conscience that it's not accusing me to my Lord and Savior. It occurs 24 times, I found in the scripture. And I read this one thing where it says that the best help for a good conscience is a bad memory. So pretty soon, most of us, I don't remember that, and then that kind of eases you a little bit. But a good conscience, ginkgo biloba. Remember when you tried to tell me to tell you, hey, you having any memory problems? We were like 40 at this time, Craig and I. You having any problem, remembering stuff? I said, yeah, I can't believe it. He goes, I'm taking this stuff called ginkgo biloba, and it helps your memory. Well, number one, if you're having a memory loss, how do you remember to take ginkgo biloba? And all it really did for me was give me an internal explosion. It was like something was going wrong. It's not ginkgo biloba. Our good conscience is by doing what God says. Loving people like I loved you, Doug. Out of a real heart. Don't say, oh, hey, brother, I love you. Oh, man, let me, And then when he goes, are you kidding? Do you know who that guy is? Do you know what he's doing? Have you ever seen? That's not a pure heart. And a good conscience is what the Lord wants from each of us. Turn to Acts 24:16. And I'd ask you, I'm just kind of sharing thoughts with you in my head. We each need to go to this. Ask God, reveal to me myself in this, Lord. One little verse, but a good conscience. How do I start to develop this so I hang around with people who are looking to get it right with the Lord? I hang around with people who are striving, trying to change and allow God to change. Another way is Acts 24, verse 16. It's not a one-time thing. Most of us here who are members of a health club or runners, joggers, Paul makes this statement in verse 16, and herein do I exercise myself. This pure heart, this good conscience, it takes work. It takes energy. I exercise myself. You know, when you go down to the gym, you don't pick up a 1 pound weight anymore, do you? Oh man, I am just really making strides like crazy here, pumping the. We exercise, we go a little bit further to try to tone up certain points and things. And if you run for an exercise, well, you don't just, you know, this be my run. That's it. I'm tired. That's my first one. But you know, tomorrow I might be able to run to Nate. And then tomorrow, the next day, I might be able to run to the A-frame. And then I might be able to run to the firehouse. And runners just keep adding to their exercise. And that's what God is saying. That's the only way, Doug, that you're going to get to this point. Like Paul, exercise yourself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and towards men. I've got to really work on this. How do I do it? You know, so to love with a good conscience. If I say something about someone, if I behind their back make some rude statement, the best thing we can do is understand that God heard that. Now, what God wants me to do is walk over and say, I want to say I'm sorry because I said thus and so. I was gossiping about something I shouldn't have. You didn't want people to know this, but I told them. When we cleanse ourselves like that, that's what starts to build a good conscience. And I've said it before, and I feel that if we can get it right here and now, there's going to be a whole lot less when I'm standing before the throne. And God is saying, why didn't you say you were sorry? And I'm just using examples, to Taffy, to Don. Why didn't you say you were sorry to Brent? You shouldn't have gone that far. When we do that, the cleansing that happens is unbelievable. That's where I'll come. Then I can stand there and say, Lord, I took care of that. But what I do usually is, I know that you want me to go say I'm sorry to Tom, but you know, he doesn't deserve it. He did this and this and this. And that's what we do. And God is saying, okay. I'm still trying to develop that pure heart, that good conscience. Let's get it going, because when am I leaving? When am I going to go? Doctors said Ted had 6 months. He had 1 day, not even. Out, gone. Too late to develop a pure heart. Too late to develop a good conscience. So don't depend on the bad memory. 1 Timothy. Let's go back, but to chapter 4. So again, we're learning that in order to develop this love, pure heart, good conscience, it takes some work, it takes some exercise on my part. But what Paul again speaks to Timothy in verse 1, let's just look at 1 through 8. Now the Spirit speaks expressly, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Remember how he started off in Timothy with us, that you would preach sound doctrine. That's where we started today. Sound doctrine, good doctrine, the simplicity of the gospel is what God is asking. And here he tells him this again, because there's a time coming when people aren't going to want to hear doctrine, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. Oh, this one here I have to speak to my brother Tom on. Commanding to abstain from spam, which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Need I say more? I love to, that's, and I don't have to apologize, he knows I'm kidding. But these are the things that we strive for, okay? These little, don't smoke, don't drink, don't cuss, don't gossip, don't do this. And all the time God is saying, all I want you to do is don't dislike, just start loving. Loving and getting yourself together here. But we're looking at this, and this is what's happening all around us. People are, they just won't adhere to sound doctrine. But here's this other doctrine, and that's the doctrine of demons. And that's Satan. We all grew up with Porky Pig and Daffy Duck and the white angel over here and the devil over on this side. And he's always working on us. Oh, you don't have to do that. That's extreme. That's almost fanatical to think that God would ask you to love somebody out there the way that you want to be loved. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it's sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, and that's what I'm trying to put myself in it, how do we lose this simplicity of God's love? How? How do we let things get in the way and move us? And what he's saying is, but if you just tell them, just remind them of these things, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. There's that sound doctrine again, whereunto thou hast attained, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise profits little. That means for a while, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with working out or doing, trying to keep yourself. But he's saying that's going to come to a point where it ends. But godliness, this love that we're hearing about, is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is. That's like right here today. It's going to benefit each one of us if we strive for this in some fashion. So right now it's going to pay off, if we could use that word, and of that which is to come. The day we stand before the Lord, when is that for Doug Gibney? I don't know. You know, I wish I would have loved my brother a little bit more. I don't have the opportunity today now to say, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? I wish I would have done this. There's a time to come that there's going to be a reward for the simplicity of this godly type love that he's trying to get into our hearts. It's a faithful saying in verse 9. Faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. How about one more? 1201. There's my Robbie right there. 1 John.
What if you're German?
What if I'm German?
What if you're Irish? Is that a good excuse?
What? One more?
No. For what you're preaching about.
1 John 3. How to apply, you know, and we're on that good conscience. How do I clear this conscience? You know, and like I said, unloading it, confessing to one another, just confessing it to God, making things right now. Do you ever just get plagued at night where you can't sleep and things are running through your head and I wish I didn't do that, I wish I didn't say that? God is saying, just, you know, it's so easy to just dump that stuff right at the very throne. I'm sorry, Lord. And if we have opportunity, go back. A clear conscience is unbelievable. You don't have to worry about what people think. You don't have to worry about what people are saying. You don't have to worry, who did I tell what last? God knows, and he just, I don't think there'd be any better feeling in knowing that God loves us, that I could sit there like Paul and said, my conscience is clear before my Lord. Wow. So what did I say? 1 John 3. My little children, and here we are on that love again. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue. So it's real easy to speak what we just heard, right? That the Lord is saying this. My commandment is love. That's the end of it. That's the whole point and purpose. But what we're hearing now is, don't just speak it. Don't just blurt it out. But in deed and in truth, work it out. Work it out. Step into somebody else's life. Step into an area that you might feel uncomfortable with. Show God's love, especially to the unbeliever. But this is a way that he wants us to do it. You know, and Ted, I don't think he says it flippantly when he says, you know, we should worship in word and truth. Am I doing that? How's my heart before God? I could fool all of you guys. And you know, not to pick on Ted or Tom and the worship team, but when we talk about sound doctrine, we said the whole point and purpose is love. It's good teaching. And I am so blessed. I've been sitting around, this isn't trying to not give you a raise this year, which you're not going to get anyhow, but you know, we are so blessed having a worship team that worships to us in sound doctrine. They don't just sing songs to glorify themselves. They don't sing songs that glorifies nature and everything else that you hear on this Christian beat this season that we're in. They're singing the words of sound doctrine to us that should promote pure hearts, good consciences. Thank you. That was an extra. 1 John 3:18. We have to put it into shoe leather, just like James said. Don't just be a hearer of the word, and I'm sure we're ready to stop hearing right now. Be a doer. It's that simple. Nike, just do it. If God says in our ear, I want you to just go over there and pay for that guy's cup of coffee. Just do it. I did it out of a pure heart. I did it because I felt my Lord say, you know, whatever it might be. So let's do it in deed and truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. What's in here that's bugging you, that's causing restless nights, that you know, I just have to call this person, whatever it is. Just do it, because then we have that pure conscience, that good conscience before God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment. Remember how verse 5 started off? That we should believe. This is how simple it is. You don't have to have, you know, it's great to have memory verses, like I said, but to be a Christian, to be a good walking, talking example of Jesus Christ, it is summed up in here. This is his commandment, besides verse 5 of this is the, you know, love, that we should believe on the name of his Son, God, his Son, Jesus Christ. That's one step program for this week. And if you don't believe on Jesus, forget everything I've just said here today. He's asking you, I want a relationship with you. I want you to show other people the love I'm going to show you right now. It's that simple. The one thing we have to do to create verse 5 in our life is to believe on God's Son, Jesus Christ. And then look what he says, to know all the basic principles of theology and all of the dates that are in the Bible and when was the triumphal entry and exit. You know, those are good. He says to love one another. Love one another. I think he said that those people are going to realize we're Christians by our love. By our love. Not how much we know. Not much we bloviate, but by our love. So two things that he's given to us. And he that keeps his commandments dwells in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given to us. Don't say we can't do it. Don't say we can't do it. Because he's telling us, well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Your love need a little tuning this week? Mine does. I'm not talking to you. I'm just talking out loud. Mine does. I need to start putting this stuff into shoe leather. The end of that verse 5 was out of unfeigned faith. Don't be fake, is what God's saying. Don't make it up. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't just play the game of Christianity. Be transparent. Simplicity. Because what happened was, what we'll hear next week, there was a bunch of people that didn't do that, and they drifted into vain jangling, excuses, not knowing what they were talking about. God doesn't want that for us. So we're going to talk about that next week. We're going to talk about the misuse of the Old Testament law. The law is good. These are God's commands that he gave us today. Just because we're in the New Testament doesn't mean we throw away that law. He did that to create a right spirit in us. He did that to give us road signs on which way we should walk. And I hope we can get into that and be led out of a bondage that we might be in, into the grace of God, and not trying to walk in some legalism, as the word tells us. So, I've babbled, but I know the one thing I wanted to say is my love needs a tune-up. My love for God, that can always increase, because I don't think his love, anybody think his love just goes like this? Like it's, you know, that's it, I loved him. I did. I think God's love goes, if there's one of those corporate graphs, I think it just keeps going up and it never does a drop. It just keeps going up like that. And I wonder what my love would look like on a graph. You know, I want it. I want it to be a little better. I hope you want it to be a little better. So let's, if we're known for anything in this place besides swinging from the chandeliers, jumping pews, let's just let them know that we love them out there the way God does, and that they're welcome in God's kingdom. They don't ever have to step foot in Calvary Chapel. Let's just let them know they're welcome. And God has got us with the invitation. So Lord, I am so far from what we just read today. But you promised for each one of us that you will complete that good work that you started in every one of us. So the day that we pass into eternity, we will hear that, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in. So hold on to those that have gone before us. If you can, just tell them we're coming soon. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Okay. Let's worship.